For Jesus Christ, King of endless glory. The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus said to the chief priests and elders of the people, "Hear another parable. There was a landowner who planted a vineyard, put a hedge around it, dug a wine press in it, and built a tower. Then he leased it to tenants and went on a journey. When vintage time drew near, he sent his servants to the tenants to obtain his produce. But the tenants seized the servants. One they beat, another they killed, a third they stoned. Again he sent other servants more numerous than the first ones, but they treated them in the same way. Finally he sent a son to them, thinking, they will respect my son. But when the tenants saw the son, they said to each other, 'This is the heir. Come, let us kill him and acquire his inheritance.' They seized him, threw him out of the vineyard, and killed him. What will the owner of the vineyard do to those tenants when he comes?" They answered him, "He will put those wretched men to a wretched death and lease his vineyard to other tenants who will give him his produce at the proper time." Jesus said to them, "Did you never read in the scriptures? The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. By the Lord has this been done, and it is wonderful in our eyes. Therefore I say to you, the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to a people that will produce its fruit." When the chief priests and the Pharisees heard his parables, they knew that he was speaking about them. And although they were attempting to arrest him, they feared the crowds, for they regarded him as a prophet. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Friday, the second week of Lent, the Church has its focus on the envy that led to Jesus' crucifixion. The anger, the sadness that people had at what God was doing through Jesus, because they couldn't control it. And it gave us the Old Testament prophetic oath, the figure and his actions in the Old Testament that had led to the new. We see it with the envy of the brothers against Joseph. Joseph was much loved by his father. That didn't mean that the father didn't love the other 11. But he loved Joseph more. One day, when Joseph was going out to help his brothers, that's when they conspired to say, "Come, let us kill him." They eventually followed Reuben's plan, sold him for 20 pieces of silver to their second cousins who were on their way to Egypt. But envy led to it all. It's what we see in kindergarten classrooms when a student wins the favor of the teacher. Just because of excellence, just because of effort, just because of goodness, that many times the other students all conspire against that person who is doing well. Envy is the most diabolical of sins. Some people will say pride, and pride's clearly a very diabolical one as well, to try to place oneself in God's situation. But envy responds to pride with destruction. Because one's pride is hurt through envy, we don't want the other person to have the blessings. We don't want the other person to be in that position. And so envy leads us to try to tear that person down. In response to what happened to Joseph and this prophecy that Jesus gave, this parable about what would happen to him, when after sending all the prophets, some of whom they stoned, others whom they killed, all of whom they basically resisted and rejected. And then finally the son would come and they'd say, "Come, let us kill him, this is the year." in a foretelling of the echo of Crucify Him through the praetorium of the Fortress Antonina. In response to all of that, the church today prays, remember the marvels the Lord has done. Tells the story of Joseph. And we see what Joseph was able to do. God brought good out of the betrayal of the brothers, sending him to Pharaoh, where through his dreams and his chastity and the other gifts that God has given, had given him, he was able to rise to the assistant of Pharaoh. And it was through that betrayal Joseph was there, and he was able to use his gifts to save not just the Egyptians, but ultimately his family. And as Pharaoh would say about him, he was the savior of the world. And likewise, out of the rejection of Jesus, we had, in fact, true salvation for everyone in the world. Remember the marvels the Lord has done. There are three essential lessons that we get from today's readings. The first is about the terribly destructive power of envy. And I repeat it, sisters, when readings like this come on up. The advice I received from probably the holiest priest I've known, he's at least one of them, still alive, Father Joseph Henchy, Stigmatine priest, who used to spend all his vacation time preaching retreats for women religious when he wasn't teaching in Rome. But I asked him for some advice when I was preaching my first retreat to women religious a long time ago, and I was peppering with various questions. I said, what's the biggest problem you're going to encounter in convents? And he said, envy. He said, if you preach for guys, you've got to preach against pride. But if you're going to a convent, beware of the envy, because that's the way it can sometimes work in the good soil of female hearts. That once the seed of envy hits there, it starts to grow massively. And so try to get to it at its roots. We've got to be aware and fight against envy. And how do we do that? Why is envy such a problem? Envy is a sadness at others' fortune. The remedy is to be grateful when somebody else is blessed, not to feel threatened, but to count what one has rather than obsess about what one doesn't. Yeah. Envy and jealousy are different. Jealousy is, I like what you have, I would like one of the same. Envy is, I like what you have and I don't have it, so darn it, I don't want you to have it either. It's a totally different reaction. And the devil's constantly slithering, trying to get us to be envious. Envious of each other, but mostly envious of God. And we're seeing that a little bit in the coronavirus scare. There's a reaction by people who don't trust that we're all in God's hands, which doesn't mean we'd do nothing, to try to seize control over the situation. The situation's not going to be controlled. But there's a huge impulse that when we don't trust God, we try to take His place. And we're angry when we're not there. It's a specific time in which we have a duty to help people trust more in God without being naive. Second main takeaway from this reading is how God seeks to bring good out of evil. When we suffer harm because others are envious of us, and I doubt any of us have been preserved from the experience of having suffered because of others' sadness that we were blessed. God wants to bring good out of it, just like He did out of Joseph's betrayal, just like He did out of Jesus' betrayal. God the Father wants to draw great good out of it, and so we should be confident that He will, provided that we respond going to Him. And that third point is how we respond to Him. To build ourselves on Him, the cornerstone in His rejection. The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. This is what's marvelous in God's eyes. That Jesus can relate to us in our rejections, just as we can relate to him in his. And how God precisely uses some of those rejections in order to wake up the world and turn it right side up. Today, I know you know that we are celebrating the 7th anniversary of the election of Pope Francis. And this is his most important teaching of all. My favorite quotation of our Holy Father came in a 2010 interview in the book called El Jesuita, when he was talking about God's mercy. And that's the great good that God brings out from our sin, which is why he permits it. He was commenting on the felix culpa of the Easter Vigil. He said one of the greatest experiences that can happen to a person is to recognize that he is a sinner loved by God. He said, it's only we great sinners who have this grace to be able to experience that love. And he gives the analogy, which I've shared with you before, of somebody being rescued from drowning, where the rescuer loses his life in the process. That whenever that happens, and we see those scenes across the globe every once in a while, everyone is transfixed. Can't keep our eyes off of that hero. But when the hero dies in the process, the person gets schools named after him. He said, we have been rescued by Jesus in that very way. When we were drowning in the toxic sewer of sinfulness, he jumped in all the way from heaven, pushed us to safety, and in the process really died. We know that he rose on the third day, but it doesn't take away the love he has shown us by dying to rescue us. It's only we great sinners who have this grace to recognize it. He says so many people have escape clauses where they don't really think they're sinners in need of a Savior. God permits us sometimes to go the way of the prodigal son, because sometimes that's the only way we will experience the characteristics of the Father who really loves us to the extreme. Pope Francis has urged us, no matter what we've had to endure, and he likewise has had to endure a lot of rejection. He was supposed to be a parish priest, not a Jesuit, but he couldn't take the diocesan seminary because it was corrupt. He's experienced rejection a lot over the course of time. His Jesuits turned on him when he was their young provincial, and he eventually had to be banned beyond the mountains until Carol Voiti and Cardinal Quaricino rescued him and brought him back to Buenos Aires as an auxiliary, and God took it from there. But he didn't let the rejection keep him on the sidelines, nursing his wounds. He did what was before him with humility, and God exalted him in that humility. And he's always trying to help us build ourselves on Christ, the cornerstone, and particularly mercy incarnate. Today, as we remember the marvels the Lord has done, we come to that greatest marvel, how God allowed us to kill him so that he could give his body and blood for us as our daily food. As we prepare to receive that cornerstone, let us ask the Lord for the grace to cooperate with his plans so that everything, including the most difficult things we endure, including the worst things we may have done, may work out for the good for those who love God. Remember the marvels the Lord has done.